of 2019, and guess what? The word's still good.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole year it just stayed good. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to the book of Isaiah chapter 43. I can't tell you how thrilled I am for today. And if you are signed up on that texting list, you know it's going to be a good one. You got two slick texts yesterday. I mean, you got two. And if you're signed up with Allegheny, you got four. That means it's going to be good. But I want to say something before I get into today's message, because I got to deal with something that happened on my way to church this morning. You know, when the Lord, you can't turn on and off when God wants to say something. The Bible says the move of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is as the Spirit wills, not as we will. You know, if beware of people that can just give you a word anytime. Just on the spot, start speaking a word over you, or, you know, just can, I have the gift of prophecy, and I'm a prophet, and I can just speak, beware of that kind of stuff. But I was on my way to church this morning, I just minded my own business, and it was a fun ride, because I've not seen a Sunday morning like this for me in a while, where it seemed like almost every field was either filled with turkeys or deer. And if you know me, that's a fun ride to church. Not a lot of eyes were on the road driving. We made it here by faith this morning. I was just looking around, you know. Watch out for me, you know, watch out for me. And I was just looking and enjoying it and seeing it. And no doubt the animals are out enjoying this thaw we're having and these warm temperatures and fattening up for what's to come, you know. But as I was just looking at it and just enjoying, wow, look at that flock of turkeys, thinking, I wonder if that guy will let me hunt his property. That's what I was thinking in my head. I wonder, you know. One time I was on my way to church and I stopped. There was a whole flock of turkeys. I mean, it was right before spring, and they're all strutted up, you know, all fanned out. And I stopped at the farmer's house. I thought, surely he's going to let me. He denied me. He said, no, you can't hunt here. People already hunt here. I said, fine, I'm out of here. Jesus said, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else. That's what I did. I said, phooey on you. No, I didn't. But anyways, I was looking at the deer and turkeys and just enjoying it, and up from my heart came the words from the Holy Ghost. And listen to this, because this is a true statement. There is a thaw coming in 2020. And the things that have been held back are going to spring forth. And the result will be great change. Now, you watch. It will come to pass. For those of you that will grab that word, because again, it doesn't matter what I say, let it be proved out. But again, the Holy Ghost said, there is a thaw coming in 2020. And the things that have been held back will spring forth, and the result will be great change. I receive that in Jesus' name. Some of us need some great changes. Some of the things have been held under the frozen realm of oppression and the frozen realm of poverty and sickness. But 2020 is going to represent great change. And you watch, it'll come to pass. Praise God. Well, I'm excited about today's message going forward, the last Sunday of the month. And before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray and believe God. Father, we're just so grateful. We're just so thankful for all that you've given to us, all that you've done for us. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Where would we be without the Word of God? Father, I thank you the Word is our guide. The Word is our counsel. The Word is our answer. The Word is our boundaries. And Father, we're just thankful for it. We don't kick against that. We welcome it. For you're trying to keep us within the bounds of blessing. So we thank you. Now, Father, as I open my mouth to speak this morning, I thank you that the Word of God will flow from it. And my words will not be my own. They'll be that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you I'll speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that bullseyes in people's hearts will be hit this morning. And Father, I thank you that what I mean by that is I'll say things that will be specific to their life, to their circumstances, to their situation, to the season of life that they're in. And Father, I thank you that it'll come to pass and it'll be a supernatural demonstration, because Father, I would not know how to stand up here and say things that would touch every heart, but you can. So we give you the glory and we give you the praise. And Father, it'll be a sign unto people of how much you love them, of how you have a better future for them, but also that Family Church South Dayton is a safe place where you can come and hear the Word of God. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. This message was given to me on November 25th. I was at the Fredonia Mayville Church, and my pastor had two night meetings there. And it was the second night, the Monday night on November 25th, and I was just, again, in service, enjoying myself. And the Lord showed me something, which I'll show you at the end of service what it was. And I said, "What's that all about, Father?" He showed me a piece of equipment. And we'll get to that towards the end of service. He showed me that, and I thought, that's interesting. And I'm in church, why are you showing me that? And then he began to unfold and download into my spirit what our New Year's service was supposed to be about. And he gave me the whole message right there. And I knew exactly what we were to share in Allegheny and what we were to share here in South Dayton going forward. And so God's trying to get some things across to us. Amen. And what we might do today will be a little uncanny or a little unorthodox from what I normally do, you know. I've never done this. Well, I should say that last night we did. But before last night, in the 10 years that I've been a senior pastor, never been led to do something like this or go the direction we're going. And so we'll see at the end of service what I mean. But when God gives things like that, it's to be a blessing to us. Amen. It's to help us. And so we'll get into that. But here we are on the last Sunday of the month, and we're headed into a new year. Amen. A blank canvas. Yeah. Right? You know, an artist, they get a blank canvas. They can create whatever they want. They can create something awful. They can create something wonderful. And we have a blank canvas heading into a new year of 2020. And the thing about heading into a new year is that's the flow of God. Say, what do you mean, the flow of God? God is a God of newness, and God is a God of going forward. Amen? Amen. Newness and forward. And so we're heading in, going forward, into a new year. That's the flow of God. God wants us to go forward into some new things. Amen? God wants us to go forward into some new things. Now, the scripture he gave me, our golden text to lay the foundation for this, is Isaiah 43 and verse 18. Isaiah 43 and verse 18. He says, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Why? He's a God of newness. He says, "Behold," verse 19, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Praise God. Wow, I just saw that word there, spring forth. That's the same thing he told me this morning. Amen. That some things were going to spring forth. And I'll be completely honest with you, when that came up out of my heart, I wasn't even thinking about Isaiah 43, 18. That's how slow I am sometimes. There's a thaw coming in 2020. And the things that have been held back will spring forth, and the result will be great change. He said, "I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." What's that? Our God just being supernatural. When there's no way in the wilderness, he made a way. When there's no river in the desert, he made a river. Praise God. And so we see here that he's saying, don't concern yourself with the old things. Go forward into what the new things I have for you. Heading into a new year. God wants 2020 to be different than it's any year has ever been for you. It's the truth. He wants you to move into some new things. Because some of the old things that we've been wallowing around in and waiting in are not helping us. They're hurting us. And we'll talk exactly what he had laid on my heart in that message on November 25th. But go with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. If we're going to go into new things, we got to leave some old things behind. Today is a day of leaving old things behind once and for all. Amen. Some of us have been carrying around the same old things For years and years, we go into a new year with the same old things. Well, he wants you to go into something new and get rid of some of those things. And in Hebrews 12, it tells us, gives us a little indicator of it. It says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses," that's those that have gone before us, cheering us on, "let us," here we go, "lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." What's he saying? He's saying, lay aside weights and sins that beset you or hold you back. Now, if the rest of the verse will give us a picture in our mind of what this looks like, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Your race that's set before you is different than my race that's set before me. What is the race that is set before us? It's God's plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you hope, a future and expected outcome." In Ephesians, it talks about that God sets up the good life for you, that he wants you to walk into the good life, that he's prearranged and made ready for you. What is the path that God has for you? It's abundant life. It's by the green pastures, by the still waters. Didn't he say he'd lead us by those things? So the race that he has before you is the race of your life, your plan, your purposes. And he says, lay aside some things, sins and weights. Well, I've said this before, you know, I like sports and watch the Olympics when they come around. When they run that, what is it, the 100-meter dash? Is that what it is? The 100-yard dash, whatever it is? They show up with the least amount of clothing legally allowed. I mean, they're even getting in there and probably shaving the ear hairs out. You know, got to get everything out, be so aerodynamic, skin-tight clothing, you know. Why? They want to be able to run as fast as they can. They don't come to the starting line with shackles around their neck and dumbbells around their ankles. Why? It would hinder them in running their race. And God is saying, I got things before you to walk into, to move into, to sprint into, but if you don't lay some things aside, it's going to hurt you. Amen? And now, when it talks about laying aside, it says sins and weights. Now, last week, you need to go back and listen to last week's message if you weren't here. And if you were here, you should go back and listen to it again, because it's good word, praise the Lord. But we saw last week what sin is and why sin's a problem. You know, we think of sin and we think of the big words. We think of murder and stealing and all the big words that would be in bold print. But we saw last week that really all sin can be categorized as one thing, which is disobedience to God. Anything that God says to do that we don't do is sin. And we saw that the problem with that is that the Bible says that in 1 John 5:18, that if we keep ourselves and don't sin, or you could say it this way, don't step outside the boundaries of God's plan, which is the Word. If you speak something in your heart, speak something in the Word. The Bible says in 1 John 5:18, the wicked one can't touch us. That's the danger of stepping outside the boundaries of the Word, is that the devil then has access or legal right to come in and work his plan, which is what? Stealing, killing, and destroying. But the Bible says if we guard and keep ourselves and sinneth not or obey the word of God, we stay in a place of protection. We stay in a place of blessing. Amen? I always say God's word is not meant to confine you. It's meant to bless you. He keeps you in the boundaries of blessing. He's not trying to ruin your life or make your life harder. The electric dog fence is not because you don't love your dog. It's because you love your dog. You know, within the boundaries of this perimeter, I can keep them safe. I can keep them protected. I can keep them fed. I can mend any wounds that come to them. Anything at all, I can provide for them. And God is saying the same thing. So I don't want to focus so much on the sin aspect, because we talked about it last week, but some of the weights that we will mention that the Holy Ghost brought to my attention to help people get free of can actually be categorized as sin as well. And so we're going to look at the weights today, and the way that we're going to, how do we lay aside these weights? What do we do? Well, verse 2 tells us the answer. He tells us, verse 1, you need to lay aside these weights. But then thankfully, in verse 2, now I want to tell you, all kids, make sure you pay attention, kids. You know, someday Pastor Mike's just going to be a mean pastor, and ones that don't pay attention, we're just going to say, nope, you didn't listen. I'm telling you, kids, you need to listen and pay attention. Amen. You need to be a blessing to your mom, dad, and our guardian. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so he says in verse 2, how are we going to lay aside these weights and sins? We're going to look unto Jesus. How are we going to lay aside? We're going to look unto Jesus. Well, what does that mean to look unto Jesus? I can't see him. Do I think about him and what he did? Well, the Bible tells us here, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So it's talking about look to Jesus. He laid aside some things and walked out what he needed to walk out, right? But what it for your practical everyday help, remember what the Bible says about Jesus. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know where that happened? At the manger. So the Bible says that the Word is God and that the Word became flesh. So the Word is Jesus. So the way that we're going to get free from the weights and the sins that we're struggling with is by looking unto Him. Well, how do we look unto Him? Looking unto His Word. His Word is our help. His Word is our answer. Everything revolves around this book. If you look at Mark chapter 4, when it talks about the sower sows the Word, and it talks about people that bring forth great fruit in their life. What's that? Abundant life blessing. It says that they heard the Word and received the Word, and the Word caused the change. Nothing else causes the change like the Word causes the change. And so we need to get these weights and sins that are holding us back from fulfilling what God has for us, moving into what God has for us. The only way we can do it, because some of these things, they're weights and sins for a reason. They're holding us down. We don't like to be held back, but it's like we can't get the chains off us. It's like we can't get the weights off us. They're just dragging us down, and we're trying to get into things, and it's just been a struggle. How are we going to do it? We're going to look unto Jesus. The Word will demolish those bondages. Because if you know the truth will set you free. And I said that this service will literally set people free, and it will. And so we're going to lay aside some things looking at the Word, but here's what the Lord instructed me to talk about in that message on November 25th. Now, when he does this, I had great response last night from people. Well, that doesn't surprise me because God knows what people need. Amen. God knows what people need, and I'm not an any, mini, miny, mo pastor going through my Bible to try to find a sermon. I just wait to hear what heaven says, because then heaven knows. And how many times have you been in one of my services where you're sitting there thinking, he's speaking right to me, and you didn't tell me what you're going through. We didn't talk about it. I had no idea. Well, that's not because I'm amazing. It's because God's amazing. I'm just a good listener. Praise God. And so I know that when he brings this up, it's because it's where people are at. It's what people are dealing with. It's what people struggled through with 2019. It's what people brought from 2018 into 2019. It's what people are about to bring into 2020. But God says, leave the former things behind and go into something new. Amen. Amen. And anything he has us go into is good. But this is what the Lord spoke to me on November 25th in that service Monday night in Mayville. The weights that we're talking about today, and again, some of these weights actually do cross over into the area of sin, are things that are bogging people down. Mistakes, failures, heartaches, worries, anxieties, stresses, and fears. Those are weights holding you back from what God has for you. Now, don't take my word for it. We'll show you that those are weights holding you back from what God has for you. But God is offering you today a presidential pardon of the highest sorts. Amen. You know, there's times where people receive pardons. And at times, there's times that people receive pardons and they were guilty of the crime they committed. Reverend Greer, a minister that comes around here, you know, he broke out of three prisons, you know. On his third escape from prison, the Lord told him to turn himself in. He did. But he was facing life in prison for armed robbery. And he got a supernatural pardon. Wasn't saying that he wasn't guilty. You might have things that you're guilty. But God is offering you this morning a pardon from your mistakes, from your failures, from your heartaches. He's offering you the opportunity to rid yourself of every fear, every anxiety, every stress, and every worry that you have. Some of you have been carrying these around year after year after year after year, and it's time to get free today. It's time to get free today. Praise God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It's not just my preaching that is going to, it will catapult you into it, and it will start you down that road of freedom, but there's something you need to do this morning. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to the world. What's he saying? Don't be like the world. Well, think about what the world is when it comes to worries, fear, anxiety, and stress. It's common or normal in the world to worry about things. Right? You're actually not considered very normal if you don't worry. How can you not worry about your kids? How could you not worry about that diagnosis? How could you not worry about what your finances are saying? And the world makes it seem normal. Don't conform to the world. What about mistakes and failures? What's the world's way? Guilty? Shame? Condemnation? How dare you? I can't believe you would. How could you do that? Don't be conformed to the world. If you're going to rid yourselves, because let me tell you something, it's not a fun life living with guilt and shame. Those of you that are living with it, you know it's not a fun life. It's oppression. Those of you that are terrified and filled with anxieties and stress over whatever it is in your life, situations, circumstances, it's not fun to live under that. Nobody likes living afraid. Nobody likes living tormented. But if you're going to free yourself from these things this morning, you're going to have to do what the Word says in Romans 12, 2. Not think like the world or do things the world's way, but be transformed. Transformed from what? Feeling guilty to not feeling guilty. From being worried to not being worried. How? By the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's all about what you do between your ears. Now, what do I renew my mind with? You know, when we renovated my office and renewed my office, you know, you saw where all those spiritual things happen in the video. If you didn't see the Christmas video, you don't know what I'm talking about, but a lot of spiritual things happen up there. You wouldn't believe it. And so before it didn't look like that with the wood and you know, my Amish friends came in, but they used things to renovate that. Well, how do we renew our mind? We renew our mind. The Bible says in James chapter 1, it says to let the engrafted word receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save or renew your souls. Well, that's already written to Christians over there in James chapter 1. That word soul is not your spirit. It's talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. So what we renew our minds with is God's word. What that means is we take what He says about our failures, what He says about our fears, and we learn and grain it into ourselves and brand it ourselves, and we think that way from this point forward. Because when you're conformed to the world, you're walking around with weights and you're weighted down. And faith doesn't operate in those arenas. So you ready to look at it? God is offering you freedom today. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. I want to start with the worries, the cares, the anxieties, the stresses, and the fears. Because certainly it's a normal thing to worry. For absolutely, Pastor Mike, you don't know what I'm going through. Pastor Mike, if you knew what I was going through, you certainly wouldn't say to me, don't worry about that. How could I not worry about that? Well, I want to show you how you cannot worry about it. But how can we not worry about it? Looking unto Jesus. He's the only way that what you're going through and the things that are making you stressed out and worried, it's the only way that you can go forward into 2020 with those things still present, those things still bearing down on you, and not worry by looking unto Jesus. Amen? So Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. Is that where I want to go? Let's see. Mark chapter 4, nope, verse 35. The same day when evening was come, Jesus said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. We've looked at this so many times. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. You know what the Lord just said to me when I said we looked at this so many times? The Holy Ghost just said, you know the reason you look at it so many times? It's because people haven't got it yet. And as I read this, I want you to think about the things you're still worried about. The things that are still causing you unrest in your thought life. Because if there was none of these things, we'd have to talk about this stuff. And even though I've talked about it a lot of times, people still walked into today fearing things, worried about things, stressed about things, anxious about things. God wants to help you. So he says, and when he had sent away, verse 36, the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. Notice it says great storm. Now this is how great the storm was. The waves beat into the boat so that the boat was now full. That's not good. The water's supposed to be on the outside of the boat. And so the boat's filling up with water. A great storm. Now before I read even further of what the disciples' response was, remember, we're not dealing with rookies. Water rookies. I'm a water rookie. One time on Lake Erie, lake trout fishing with my dad, I was spent my whole day over the side barfing my brains out. That was the last time. Not doing it anymore, Dad. You stick to the fishing, I'll stick to the hunting. And they're not rookies. They make their living being fishermen. Well, when you make your living being a fisherman, you encounter weather. You encounter waves. You encounter storms. And so people that are seasoned in that wouldn't get tripped up as much as a rookie would by a storm. They'd say, oh, that's nothing. Right? That's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about that. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, verse 38. And they awoke him, and they, who's they? The professional fishermen, the non-rookies, the pros, the ones that have been there before. Master, don't you care that we're dying? In their mind, from their perception, with their professional training and things that they have, their perception was, this is a storm so great, this is the end of our lives. And you're sleeping? That's what they thought. And naturally, they wouldn't be lying. They knew what a storm like that would. I mean, the boat's full. Boat's full, it means we're going under. And Jesus arose, verse 39, rebuked the wind and said to the sea. Now here's what I want you to see before I tell you what Jesus said. How many of you ever faced different trials? Maybe you're going through different trials in your life right now. Or even if you look back at your life at different trials, you would say that the intensity of some trials are less than others. You could really kind of say that there's a spectrum on the trial spectrum. From minor things to major things, right? What's more major than life or death? Nothing. Not being able to pay your mortgage does not equal the spectrum of you're going to die. Right? Getting the flu does not equal the spectrum of you're going to die. Right? Losing your job, although be bad and not good in the natural, does not equal. So what I'm saying is, here we have on the spectrum, the trial spectrum, the top of the list, a life and death trial. And look at the master's response. Peace be still, the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, I love it. So when I tell you not to worry, don't you give me that look. Don't you look at me dirty and think, oh, what do you know? No, I'm just repeating what my Jesus said. He said unto them, the pros, who are in the worst trial of their life, life and death, they think it's over. He said unto them, why are you afraid? Well, what would the world say? Duh, Jesus, do you not see the wind or feel the wind and see the result of the wind with the waves? Do you not see the boat filling with water? How could you ask that question? And that was his question to him. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? The enemy wants you in fear. You could say it this way, why are you stressed? Why are you anxious? I would say they're anxious in that situation. I would say they're stressed. I would say they're fearful, right? I'd say they're worried. And Jesus said, why are you all those things? Now, the enemy would love to get you into those things. You want to know why the enemy would love to get you into fear and worry going forward into 2020? Because the Bible says here, Jesus said, why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Well, what does the Bible say about faith in Ephesians 6 and verse 16? Above all, take the shield of faith. With that shield, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Why do you think the devil gives you thoughts of fear and circumstances and situation and piles on it with thoughts and different things? Because if he can get you into fear, he can get your faith out the window. Now remember, we looked at a few weeks ago, faith is not optional. If you want the flow of God's power in your life, Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, if you can have faith, then all things are possible. Notice he didn't say, if God just decides to do it. If God wakes up and decides to be a blessing to you, no. He says, it's available to you, all things are possible, but you got to have faith. Why? God comes in on the coattails of faith. How did you get saved? For by grace are you saved, but it came through your faith, Ephesians 2:8 says. You didn't just get saved because God decided to do it, because God chose to save you. You heard the word, believed the word, acted on the word, and received salvation. God's salvation power flowed on the coattails of your faith. We can't afford not to have faith. God's power is shut off if we don't have faith. And he's telling you, now listen to me, look at me real clear, every one of you. Those of you that are in worry and fear and anxiety and stress, you know why you're in those things? Because you're facing something that you don't know how to get past. Well, we know when we face things we don't know how to get past, faith is our answer. It moves those mountains. But I'm here to tell you, it's got some bad news for you. If you walked into this service with fear, anxiety, I don't care. Don't stop yeah-butting me. Nothing frustrates me more as a pastor when I'm across from somebody in a meeting or someone comes up to me and tells me a situation and I say, all right, this is what the word says. And out of their mouth, yeah, but I can't help you that way. If the word is not your counsel, if your situation, circumstances, feelings, or thoughts trump the word, you have no help for you. And if I tell you right now what I'm about to say, and you say in your mind, yeah, but you don't know, you're beyond help. Because I just showed you Jesus' response was, I don't care how bad it is. Fear is wrong. It's get your faith out of the way. If you walked in here with faith, with fear, worry, anxiety, and stress, you don't have faith for that situation to change that. And that's the very thing you need. You know, see what that tells me? You better deal with it today. You better deal with it today. Because you need God's power in that situation. Because you can't do it yourself. You need God's flow in that situation. Remember what it said over there in Matthew chapter 5? He said, which of you, by worrying, by being fearful, by being stressed or anxious, can add one cubit to their stature? What's he saying? Worrying does nothing. What does it do for you? Except stress you out, keep you awake, and cause your body to break down. It doesn't change the situation. You know why you're worried about it? Because you can't change the situation. And it's causing you stress to be stressed. I don't know what to do about this. Looking unto Jesus. Excuse me. So, I want to help you with this, with the worries and fears. Because that's what the enemy wants. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Is it really possible to live a life like this? It sure is. You better learn to live a life like this. Remember what he told you in Psalms 23? He said, I prepare a table before you in the presence of all your allies. That's not what Psalms 23 says. He says, I expect you to sit down and eat at the table that I prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. What's he saying? As long as we're progressing in God, there's going to be adversaries on our left, on our right, in front and back of us, pressing us. And God says, just like Jesus, in the middle of the storm, I want you rested. I want you peaceful. I want you full of faith. And you better get to that place, people. Because if you just think God's just going to swoop in and save your situation because it's so bad, listen, we see situations all over the Word of God where it was bad. People that God loved, but they didn't operate in faith and God was nowhere to be found. Over and over. God doesn't move by twisting his arm, by manipulating him, by crying on his shoulder. God moves by faith. Faith is what gets God moving. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. I get to yapping and I forget to turning. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Okay, Pastor, that's great. I see that. I see it. Jesus said, don't worry, no matter what I'm going through. Faith gets shut off. I can't afford that. Great. What do I do, Pastor Mike? You look unto Jesus. The Word will tell you how to do it. Amen? The Word's going to tell you how to do it. Right here it is. Humble yourselves under. Now notice this. I love that they focus and point this out. They didn't just say the hand of God. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Do you see that there? Your God is a mighty God. Amen. Those hands are the hands and the might that came from him that raised Jesus from the dead, that parted the Red Sea, that spared Daniel, that spared Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that caused that stone to hit that giant right between the eyes. Your God's a mighty God. He's mighty. He's mighty. We could go over from now until next week and look at the exploits of God in the Bible and his might and his power. Things that he did supernaturally. Nothing's impossible for him. He's not bound by the natural. He's a mighty God. I want to point it out to you because it says if you'll humble yourselves, the result will be an exaltation in due time. Okay, what does that mean to humble myself under God's hand? So God's hands are reached out to you this morning. Verse 7 tells you why his hands are reached out to you. Casting all your care. You know what that word care means in the Greek? Your anxieties. Your stress. Your fear. Your worries. He says, my hands are out. Cast them to me. I want them. All your cares on me. For he cares for you. What's he saying? He's saying, you're stressed and worried because you can't change it. But I want you to know I'm the mighty God with mighty hands. And I can bear the burden. Give it to me. God is offering you today to walk out of these doors free from every worry, every fear, every anxiety, every stress, if you'll give it to him. Amen? Amen? And we'll teach you at the end here of how to walk this out with the next thing that we're going to look at with the mistakes and failures. But casting your cares onto him is just simply casting a line into the water. It's just simply saying, Father, I'm worried about X, Y, and Z. I give it to you. Amen? Amen? The problem is when people take it back. That's the problem. So the casting's the easy part. That keeps it on him, keeps your faith going. But the problem is when people walk out of here and they're laying there in the middle of the night and they get woke up with that situation, circumstance, the devil gives you imaginations and thoughts. And then all of a sudden you start to worry again. You know what you did? You just took it back from him. Amen? Amen. I told you the story about Caleb when he was 3 or 4 years old. He came to me running in the kitchen. I was sitting at the table. And he dropped a toy on the table and said, will you fix this, Dad? And I actually could fix it, which is a miracle. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff, you know, but I could fix it. But it was going to take a little bit of time to get it back together. And a 3 or 4 year old doesn't have much patience. So Caleb's getting all restless, you know, not very peaceful. He grabs that thing off the table, runs back into the playroom. I wait because I know he's going to come back to me because it's not fixed. Comes back, Dad, it's still broke. This happened like 3 times, back and forth. Finally, he went to grab it for me. I said, buddy, I said, until you leave this with me. See, you can't fix it. That's why you're leaving it with me. But I can't fix it if you don't leave it with me. When I said that to him, up from my heart came 1 Peter 5:7, and I saw it clearer than I ever saw before, and that's what Christians do. They cast it onto God, but then they take it back by how? The worrying of it. The replaying it in their mind. When you enter into worry again, that's like you taking the toy off the table that you can't fix, that daddy can fix, but you got to leave it with him. Yeah. And I'll teach you at the end of service how to leave it with him. That's how to be skillful. So that's the first thing God wants to deal with. So for those of you that are worried, today's your day of freedom. Now go with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Excuse me. Romans 8 and verse 1. Mistakes and failures. For those of you, and I know you're out there. How do I know? Well, I've talked to some of you. But also the Holy Ghost is having us preach it, so that means there's people out there. Those of you that brought into this service today, feelings of guilt, shame, condemnation, the how could I do this, and I'm a horrible this because I did that, and the pictures that you get, today it stops. Amen? It stops today. If you'll do the right thing with it, it'll stop today. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now. Everybody say the word now. You know when now is? Now is right now. What's the date today? December 29th. It's 11:14. You know when now is? December 29th. 11:14 is now. He says right now there is no condemnation. What's condemnation? The guilt, the accusations, the feelings of how could you, how dare you. You know, coming down on yourself, condemning yourself for what you did. You say, Pastor, but this is in my past. It's real. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, who gives a rip? Amen. The only way you'll walk out of here free from this is if you choose to stop thinking the way you think, the world thinks, and receive and accept the pardon that God's giving you. I have yet to see a man or woman get pardoned and say, no, I think I'll stay in jail. I don't receive that. No, they run for the hills. Get me out of here. And so many people just decide by their thinking and what they do with it to stay in this continual behind these prison walls of guilt, condemnation. And God is saying, from my perspective, I'm offering you freedom. You know, get out of jail free card. You get those in Monopoly and you're like, nah, I'll just stay in jail. No, you get out of there and go make some money. That's what you do, right? You take it. You take it, praise God. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God is saying, my flow for my people is that there's zero condemnation. Now, he says that knowing the stuff that you're beating yourself up over. He was there when you did it. He saw the whole thing. And he's telling you, right now, I don't want you feeling any condemnation for anything the rest of your life. Amen. Now I'm going to give you more witnesses on that to drive home the point even further and give the devil a big fat black eye. Amen. Amen? Go to Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Lamentations 3 and verse 22. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, you can think how you want, and you can let circumstances tell you you're horrible because you did this, this, and this, or you can renew your mind to the Word and accept God's freedom today. That's what I would choose for you, but I can't choose it for you. You have to choose it. Lamentations 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. Oh, He's a compassionate God. Look at this. They, what's they? His mercies and compassion are new. What would we say? God's a God of newness. Amen. How often are they new? Every morning. When you woke up this morning, you know what else got renewed? God's mercy and compassion. When you wake up tomorrow morning, on December 30th, Monday morning, guess what's going to be new and available to you? God's mercies and God's compassion. Amen? That's going to be available to you. His mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? How do I put that in a context to help you today? Y'all walked in here previous to the time you walked in here, you brought stuff in with you. You came in with the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and you live in a certain way and feel in a certain way and think a certain way. God is letting you know. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up with those things, I just want you to know my mercies are brand new to cover those things and to get rid of them. Just like they're brand new today and ready for you to be free right now. That's what he's saying. Go with me to Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Now I want you to think long and hard about the nasty things that the devil's beating you up about. The things in your life that you say, how could I? I can't believe I did that. How could I if I would have done this different? You know what I'm talking about? Failures as a parent, failures as a spouse, failure as a friend, failure as a worker, failure in life, making mistakes, doing unholy things, unrighteous things, going against the Word of God. You know all the stuff that's beating you up, all those chains you're holding on to. Think about them right now. All those things that hammer you and hammer you and hammer you. Condemnation is not the flow of faith. You can't receive from God in a state of condemnation. It's not how God operates. He says, accept what I'm offering you. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He. Now I'll just say this because it came out of my heart. I didn't say this last night, but it needs to be said today. If God acts this way towards people, you better act this way towards people. It is wrong for you to hold something over somebody's head that they've repented for. You are acting ungodly. When you hold something over somebody's head that they repented for and don't show mercy, you are acting like Satan. It's the truth. Oh, we like to just hold people under our thumbs, remind them, and keep holding their feet to the fire. That's devilish. And the Bible says in the book of James, they that show no mercy will receive no mercy. I want mercy because I need mercy. Why? Because I know Mike Anderson. I know what a big fat failure I am at times. I need His mercy, just like you need His mercy. Amen? And after Christmas, I'd really feel like an emphasis of the big fat. Oh, my goodness, my suits are getting tight. I need to fix this. I feel like a sausage up here. Stuff me in this thing today. I don't know how it looks, but that's what it feels like. Isaiah 43, verse 25. He says, I, even I, got to stand up saying, this is who I am. Why would we argue with Him? He says, this is who I am. He says, I am He that blotteth out your transgressions. What's that? Your failures, your mistakes, all that stuff you're holding yourself to the feet to the fire to. Now, but notice this is the cool part of this. I blot out your transgressions for my sake. He's not even blotting them out for your sake. It blesses you and helps you. He's doing it for His sake. Why? He wants you free. Amen. What did Jesus say to the woman that was caught in adultery? He didn't say, how could you do this? You nasty, horrible, what is wrong with you? No, He said, get up and just go sin no more. I want you free. I don't want you beating yourself up over this. That's mercy. That's mercy. Praise God. He said, I am He that blots out thy transgressions for my own sake. And then He says something else about Himself. Now, He's not a liar. He says, I will not remember your sins. I'm not going to remember. People might remember, but who gives a rip about people? Who gives a flutie-tootie about them? Who cares? Are you trying to please people? I'm not. I'm trying to please God. Okay. I don't live by what people say, what people think of me. I'm here to please Him. And He says, I won't even remember it. So when you ask forgiveness, so that should help you if you're in a position of things you've done wrong that put you in a bad place. Bad parenting decisions, bad financial decisions, whatever. Put you in a bad place. Your helper, to get you out of those, is not looking at you saying, well, you're in that position because you failed. Because if you repented for it, He says, I blotted it out and I don't even remember what happened. And so I see you in a place of struggle, and as your daddy, I just want to help you. That's what He's saying. You can choose to receive your own thoughts or what the Word says, but God is saying, I'm blotting them out. If you want them blotted out, they can be blotted out. Psalms 103, verse 12. Praise God. I'm done beating myself up. I'm done wallowing around in the muck and mire of condemnation. Is there things naturally you could point to say, wow, what a failure, what a screw up? Sure is. But you know what? Jesus is my answer to my failures and my screw ups. Glory to God. I can't have a pardon. I did that crime. I know, but we're offering you a pardon. No, they just say, thank you for the pardon. I'll take that. Get me out of here. See, it ain't about you being justified in your own way. It's about Him justifying you by what He decided to do. That's this whole thing of mercy and grace. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, that's pretty far. So far has He removed our transgressions from us. You see that? He's removed them. They're gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2020 is going to be different. Amen. To get into some of those things, you got to lay these things aside, people. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means born again, he is a new creature. There's that word new again. God's a God of new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, what does that mean? Because people say, well, that happened at the new birth. Yes, I got saved and became a new creation. But Pastor Mike, I have to admit, and I'm telling you, I'm right there with you. I've done things post-salvation that I shouldn't have done. I've missed it post-salvation. I guess I can't claim newness anymore. No, the Bible says, if you're in Christ. What's Christ? The Word. The Word is your answer to post-salvation screw-ups. Well, what is that answer? I'm glad you asked me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 is your answer to post-salvation, because we've all messed up before salvation, and we were all, you know, following the devil. Some of us had maybe greater extent of screw-ups and things, but we all were in a place, then we got saved, we became brand new. But then what happens when we've screwed up as a Christian? Certainly we should have known better, and certainly how dare us, and how could we do that? Well, there's an answer for you. 1 John 1:9. If we, who's the we? This is written to born-again believers. They've already become a new creation in Christ Jesus. They're saved, Holy Ghost in them, getting the Word, and they still screwed up. Yeah, welcome to life. Are you flesh and blood? I am. Do you miss it at times? I do. Do you do the wrong things, say the wrong things, act the wrong way? Or am I the only one? No, we're in good company today, aren't we? And the Bible says, if you confess your sins, what's that? After you're already born again, He doesn't hold you down. Say, what is wrong with you? You had the Holy Ghost. You were in a Word church. You had the Bible. How dare you? No, that's what your thoughts would tell you. That's what the devil would tell you. But God is saying, I am faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So those things in your mind that you're thinking, certainly, how could I ever be forgiven of that? It's just an all. Stop magnifying, letting the devil magnify what you did. Because your great sin in your head put Jesus on the cross just as much as what somebody would call a little sin. It all put Him there. And Jesus didn't say, you that is without adultery, cast the first stone. He said, you that is without sin, cast the first stone. It was all the same to Him. It's all the same to Him. So when you're magnifying, yeah, but I did this and I should... No, it's just an all. Yeah. You need to tell yourself in your head right now, that which I'm beating myself up is just an all. And He said He would do something with the alls. He'd cleanse me from the alls. You can walk out of here cleansed today. Amen. Philippians 3:13. I'm almost done. Philippians 3:13. Paul writing this. He said, brethren, I count not to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What did the Lord say in Isaiah 43? Forget the former things. Leave the things old behind. Reaching forward. Why? He's a God of forward. Unto those things which are before. Why? That's His flow. Forward. Go forward. I press towards. That's forward. The mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now here's what's interesting about this. You'll never get into what God has for you. Why? The Bible tells you there are weights and sins. When you condemn yourself, you're sinning. Why? He said no condemnation. When you worry, you're sinning. Why? He told you not to worry. That's just disobeying God. You'll never get into what He has for you in sin. We saw that last week. In disobedience, you'll never get into it. Why? The Word says these things beset us, hold us back. The runner with the weights on is never going to get the same prize as the ones without it. They're going to the results are going to look different for them. Until you get free of these things, until you become skillful, that's the word, skillful with accepting what God says and renewing your mind to what God says, you'll never move into these things. You will wallow around and be held back. And that thaw won't happen for you. You'll be under the frozen grounds of oppression. Paul wrote this. His name was Saul before God changed his name to Paul. You know what Saul used to do before his name was changed to Paul? Here's some of the terms the Bible used for it. Saul breathing out murderous threats, wreaking havoc against the church. Slaughter, that's a yucky word. Hailing men and women that were Christians off to prison, that was his former life. Stood there as Stephen was being stoned and held the coats of them that were stoning him and approved of it. You tell me if you think that Paul had some condemnation he needed to take care of. He sure did. Now I'm going to even guarantee, we talked about the worry spectrum. I don't know if I've ever said it this way before. When it comes to a mess up spectrum, I can't think of anything worse than murder and killing Christians. The scene would have been the Anderson family sitting at home with their precious children and people coming in and dragging mommy and daddy away in the presence of the kids. Chaos, and just for following Jesus. That's what Paul did. That's how nasty he was. But now he says, I forget those things which are behind. What did he say? I accept your mercy. Amen. I accept the pardon you give me. And he says, I press forward. For Paul to get into what God had for him, what did he have to become skillful with? Renewing his mind to the word of going forward. Stop staying where you've stayed all 2019, 2020's brand new. Amen. No more thoughts of condemnation and guilt and this and that. Jesus paid for it all. You weren't good enough, but he was. Amen. And that's all I rest in, is his goodness, not mine. Think about Paul, but think about Peter. Peter denied Jesus to a little girl. Three times he denied Jesus. One of them was to a little girl, and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. He was so brokenhearted. The man that he had given his life to for 3.5 years, when it was in that man's greatest trial on the earth, Peter backed away from him. Wouldn't that feel terrible? I don't know about you, but when I step outside the boundaries of the Word, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm not trying to look like Mr. Humble Pants or... It breaks my heart. I hate messing up. I hate sinning. I hate stepping outside because Jesus paid a price for it. And I love my Father. And you can think about Peter. He's weeping bitterly. And he's got to think, it's over for me. And once Jesus comes back after he raises from the dead in John chapter 21, he goes to Peter. He says, you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. You're going to be a feeder of my sheep. You're going to be in the ministry. You're going to lead people. Can you imagine if Peter would have just been like most of us? Oh, I can't. I'm not worthy of that because I did this. Jesus didn't give a rip about what he did. The blood covers it all. You know who couldn't get past it? Judas. Let me ask you. There's no verse in the Bible that says what Judas did damns him to hell. You know what Judas did? It's just an all. It's just an all. Peter's was just an all. Paul's was just an all, and they received what the all can be taken care of. Judas couldn't receive it, and what did he do? Took himself out because of condemnation and guilt. If you are not skillful, you think God still had a plan for Judas? He sure did. If he had one for Paul and had one for Peter, he didn't love Judas any less. But Judas couldn't become skillful with what God offered him. God's offered you freedom today. There's things up ahead for you. You're wallowing around with the weights. Yeah, but I did this. Yeah, but I did that. There's things that you wouldn't even want to admit to anybody. That's how bad they are, and the devil uses that against you. And Jesus is saying, it's just an all. It's just an all. It's just an all. Praise God. So in closing, this is what the Lord directed me to do. First and foremost, as I look around the room, to be able to receive from this, one must be born again, have accepted Jesus. I don't... see if anybody here that I know that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you are a believer of Him. If that's the case, and I've missed that, I don't think I have, to do what the next part is, the first thing you do is receive Jesus. How do you receive Jesus? Lord, I believe in you. I call on your name. I believe you died and rose again. You do that, you're saved. But I believe we're all born again in here this morning. So this is what the Lord directed me to do. Go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Careful, you might get a paper cut. Because you haven't been there very much, you know. This is what the Lord directed me to do. Now, again, I don't try to make things up. I do things as the Holy Ghost leads, as best to my ability. But we see things do uncanny things in the Bible. For example, when Naaman, the leper, how did he get his leprosy cleansed? He was told, go dip in the river. Well, that water didn't have leprosy cleansing power, but that's what God told him to do. Go dip in the water. God told a woman with one meal left, give it to the man. Well, that doesn't seem normal. Jesus healed a blind man by what? Spitting in the mud and rubbing it together and putting it in. Why? Is it his spit? Is there mud? Should we go just start chucking mud bombs at all the blind people? No. It's what the Holy Ghost said to do. Amen. So this is what the Holy Ghost said to do. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write. Notice this, write. Not just think about it. Write the vision. And make it plain upon tables. Well, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is the rest of that verse. That he may run that reads it. It will benefit somebody by writing it down. Now, there's lots of times God illustrates spiritual things by natural truths. We see it all over the Word with sowing and reaping and agriculture. If you go and do a study on your own, and all these educated people, you know, that in colleges and different things with business, the percentage is so much more for something to set in and sink into somebody if they write it down. He said, write this vision down. Why? Because then they can run with it. Lord directed me, you'll see there's an index card in each one of your seats. Now, Jeff, go ahead and get that paper shredder. I was sitting on November 25th, Monday night in Mayville, and all of a sudden in my spirit, I had a picture of my paper shredder at home. I said, Lord, why are you showing me that now? I wasn't thinking of a paper shredder. But the Lord said to me in that service, this is what you're going to preach on. You're going to have people write these things down, and then that's going to sink in, but then they're going to take ownership. And it's going to become real to them. And they're going to walk up here and they're going to get rid of these things once and for all. Amen. Say, is it gimmicky? It's what the Holy Ghost said to do. Amen. Amen. Haven't done it in 10 years. We've had writing things down before, but not like this. So here's what I want you to take time to do right now. Every worry and fear that you're feeling right now, obey the Holy Ghost and write it down. Nobody's going to see it. No one to put your names on it. I'm going to do the same thing. Every bit of condemnation, every failure that haunts you, write it down. Well, I don't want to see it. No, the Holy Ghost said, write it down. Take ownership today. Do the word, praise God. What's bothering you? What's causing you to be fearful? And your pastor's doing it as well. Bill, the communion song that we play, there's something about that name. When we have people start coming forward, can we put that song on? Thank you. Write it down. Today's the end. Today's the day you cast these worries and fears off of you once and for all, these condemnation. No more. No more. And then when we get all done doing this, I'll give you your help of how to stay in this flow. Hallelujah. I don't care if you have a laundry list, we'll wait for you. This is a free, getting free service today. And then I said, I'll give you the help. We're going to do it all together, Mark. Thank you. He's ready to get rid of it. I love that spirit. Get this stuff off of me. Praise the Lord. I love it. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it by section so we don't have a log jam up here. But this is what I would ask. We're going to start with this section a second. After you put it in, if you'd go this way, even if we could open the back doors and people can come just back to their seat that way, then we'll go the middle section, then we'll go over here. We're going to put worship music on, but I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to have you repeat some things. And what I'm going to have you repeat is, Lord, about today we cast these cares onto you. And once you do that, they're with him. Lord, I accept my forgiveness. I accept that. There's no condemnation. From that point on, you are then forgiven. Amen. Amen? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I'm just so grateful for this message, for what you've given to us. Lord, you want your people going forth into things that are new. Things that are freedom, Father, not bondage. These weights, these things that hurt people, they've held them back. They've hindered their faith. And Lord, you've offered us freedom from our worries. You can carry our cares. You can do it. You're the answer to our cares and our worries and our stresses and our fears. And Father, you've offered us freedom from our past. We can walk out of here white as snow if we so choose. As if we never did it wrong. In fact, Father, we will walk out of here if we accept your forgiveness and you'll look at us as we never missed it because you don't even remember when we did. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, all the worries and fears, stresses and anxieties that are on this card, I once and for all cast them onto you, for you can handle it. And I thank you for it. And Heavenly Father, all those things on this card that I beat myself up over, all my past mistakes, all my failures, I ask you to forgive me once and for all. And I thank you for your mercy, and I receive my forgiveness, and it's as if I never did it wrong. In Jesus' name, amen. Look up here.